We want to get to the next level. If we want to grow, conditions are going to have to change. The way things are running are going to have to change.
Transparency is a big thing in keeping trust. Yeah. And it starts with leadership. We have to show transparency first.
My identity has changed from thinking that I need to do it all. As the leader's like, okay, I need to have the vision. I need to create the execution plan. That's not possible. As the organization scales, we have to put leaders in place that can own their area within the business.
Peter Lencioni says it in his 5 dysfunctions of a team is if you don't have trust as your main foundation builder, there's going to be issues that you'll have your team meeting with your leadership and they'll be afraid to ask certain questions because they're afraid they're going to get fired.
Create new content, to just be in my own mind creating. And I love creating. I love having blank space on the calendar. And so I think it's going to require me to be ruthless with where my time is going.
Ruthless. I love it. On today's episode of Scaling Together, we are going to be talking about who you have to become to scale. There's a lot of changes that you have to make in your life things that you learn from reading in books and things from trainings, things from masterminds that you pick up from people who have been there where you're headed before you, and things that you've picked up and you realize there's internal changes inside of yourself that you have to make real, looking in a mirror and deep down changes in order to continue to grow and be the leader that your team and your clients, your members expect of you. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. The first question is, how has your identity as a leader changed over the last 3 to 5 years, would you say, Josh?
I would say my identity has changed from thinking that I need to do it all, right? As the leader's like, okay, I need to have the vision. I need to create the execution plan. I need to, checking all of the bases personally, to recognizing that's not possible. As the organization scales, as we add more and more clients and we add more and more team members, we have to put leaders in place that can own their area within the business.
Mine has been to listen more. To really hear what the others have to say and how important building trust is with your organization. Yeah. It's Peter Lencioni says it in his 5 dysfunctions of a team is if you don't have trust as your main foundation builder, then there's going to be issues that you'll have your team meeting with your leadership and they'll be afraid to ask certain questions. They'll be afraid to talk about the ugly that might be going on in their department because they're afraid they're going to get fired or that you're going to think differently of them. And so the importance of trust builders and really of having the time where you can talk with them one-on-one to discuss issues. So I think building up the trust has been something that I've been focused more on doing with our team, seeing how important it is during the EOS process in order to have a good trust within the organization.
No doubt. Yeah. And I think, for a long time, even recently, if I look at over the last, 6 to 12 months, I always kind of held the vision and the goals to myself and maybe to the leadership team. It was like, here's where we want to go. Mm-hmm. Here's where we want to get. Here's the big things we want to get done. And if all I was doing was sharing that with the leadership team, which might be 5 or 6 people in the organization, and it didn't, kind of trickle down to the rest of the organization, they wouldn't be as excited. They wouldn't be as bought in. And so starting to do quarterly addresses where it's every quarter we did our leadership team meeting and we set these goals, these rocks either for the year or for the quarter, and sharing that with the entire team, sharing the wins, sharing the lessons, sharing the vision, I found that really creates buy-in from the bottom up.
Yes. And along with that line of transparency is being transparent in when we have to let somebody go. Mm. And I feel like we've always had great trust when we do the EOS annual with our leadership team. We've tracked it over every single session. And Gerardo is so great. He's our EOS implementer. And he always brings up the previous percentages and things like that. And it's typically 70s, 80s, 90s on these questions. percentage wise, but over time we've been improving it. And from the last one, there's a realization that happens as well of what transparency really does mean and how it affects you when you're making decisions and asking the team for feedback. And so recently just we've been aware as well that if you let somebody go and you are not fully transparent as to why that is, that can also affect, you know, am I next on the chalking block? Like, what did that person do in order to leave? And really our heart was, we don't want to put anybody in a bad light in order to be transparent. And so just making sure that we are being transparent while also respecting the other person who left. You know, we never want to talk badly about somebody else or shine a light on major issues or any issues like that. So I think transparency is a big thing in keeping trust. Yeah. And it starts with leadership. We have to show transparency first. Mm-hmm. And then they'll see, oh, okay, this is a safe place. And I can also reveal what's going on in my department too.
No doubt.
What version of yourself did you have to let go of to scale?
I think the version I had to let go of was the version that felt like I was the superhero of the company, right? I was the problem solver for everything. And, you know, always feeling like, you know, if the client was really upset, I could swoop in and, you know, save the day. And while that's valuable and it can save clients in certain situations, it trains and reinforces the team that, well, you know, they don't really trust me to solve this problem on my own. And so I had to let that version of myself die and, you know, let the team, you know, fall on their own sword in some cases so that they could step into that confidence. They're like, this is my responsibility and I'm not waiting for the superhero to come save the day.
Yeah. One of the things that I had to let go of was just stepping into consistency, more consistency as a leader. And that started with my routine in the morning and developing we talked about atomic habits in the previous episode, but just making sure that I wake up with, it just sets the tone. And waking up with my routine of working out in the morning, having a prayer, making sure that, you know, everything is going to go well and being in that positive headspace, sitting down, focusing on deep work, doing the meetings with the team, and just plugging into those things that you do every day, every week, builds that consistency. So for me, in the past few years, I've been working on that, on making sure that I'm very consistent with what I do.
So good. Love that.
Next question. What internal resistance shows up for you when growth accelerates? Internal resistance.
I like growth. I'm excited by growth, but growth I'm also is good. Growth is good. But I'm also, I like consistency. I like steadiness. And so when we're changing a lot of things super rapidly, I try to move back to like the safe harbor of the known and be like, hey, let's just keep this. If it's not broken, let's not fix it. But I also recognize if we want to get to the next level, if we want to grow, conditions are going to have to change. The way things are running are going to have to change.
This is what's interesting about you and I, Josh, being the leaders of the company together, is that that's how you feel. And for me, that's my struggle, is the consistency part. And I get fired up and excited about little nuanced changes of how can we make this 1% better, and just focusing on, this is great, but this, if we just tweaked it like this, it'd be even better. And so the consistency for me is the part that I have to overcome, because as a leader, the boring is what scales. And so you do want to be consistent in what you do in the company, but also it's like one of those opposites kind of thing that go together. It's like, you do want to stay consistent, but you also need to make some changes in order to continue to move the needle. Otherwise you get complacent. But that is an interesting thing, that your challenge is my challenge and vice versa. So
yeah.
And the last question for this is, what does the next level require of you personally?
I think the next level requires me to be able to continue to step up, to be a thought leader and to be willing and committed to focus on the things that are in my genius zone. Like a lot of work we've done over the last couple of years has been around, you know, we've got these growing companies, we've got these great teams, and managing our schedule to say like where's our time go every single day? And for a long time, it was like meetings every mm-hmm. single day, you know, meeting with clients, meeting with teams, meeting with content creation and everything in between. But then, you know, recognizing that doesn't give me a lot of time, you know, to create new content, to just be in my own mind creating. And I love creating. I love having blank space on the calendar. And so I think it's going to require me to be ruthless with where my time is going and create those blank space days, those blank space hours of time where I can just create.
Ruthless. I love it. Yes. For me, what is going to be required is time and focus. And one of the things that we did in order to make these big changes, which are so exciting that we've recently done, to take off our plate so that we focus more on deep work and less time in meetings, just have it all on one day. All of our meetings are now in one day. And so we are having the rest of the week to mostly do deep work and create content, like you said, but also the block time of getting together and look on our business as well. And moving our COO position up has been instrumental in that, where Justin's been wearing the hat, just not officially with the title, right? But having him move into the seat so that we can focus on those things that are going to move the needle, big picture 10X, activities that we want to implement that we're really excited about over the next couple of years, and have him oversee the business and the day-to-day management while we're still heavily involved in that piece with him meeting on a regular basis. So yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah. If you're talking about like the changes you need to make, you know, like you've made a lot of changes in stepping out of the things you do really, really well and saying, okay, I need to put someone else, I need to elevate and delegate. And you've done an amazing job on that front.
That was scary. Yes. The first time to like start letting go of the event piece, and having other people, rock stars who are honestly better than me at these positions, and just giving them the tools that I've been using. And they have been doing an amazing job. We just got the most recent intensive with the highest rating in both of our events that we do throughout the week at the intensive, the highest rating we've ever received. We continue to excel and support our team in that way. And it's been wonderful to see the team grow in that way.
Awesome. Well, hopefully you got some good insights and takeaways here on how to really elevate as a leader and kind of recognize you're going to have to evolve through the different phases of growth, both internally and within your organization. Mm-hmm. Would love it if you would drop a comment or however you happen to be listening or watching this right now. And be sure to subscribe for future episodes of the Scaling Together podcast.